This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How about that shrink and trade deficit? Not so fast. In New York, I'm Matt Nesta with the Marketplace Midday Update. In a week filled with softer-than-expected economic data, you'd think a report that showed the U.S. trade deficit shrinking to a six-year low would be cause to celebrate. But alas, things aren't always as the headlines might suggest. In fact, economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial says February's plunging trade deficit fell for all the wrong reasons.
Well, in an ideal world, we'd see an improvement in trade because exports surged faster than imports. Instead, in this trade report, imports plummeted faster than exports fell. Both were in the wrong direction, suggesting weak growth abroad and disruptions in the U.S. We actually saw work stoppages at the West Coast ports. That meant a bunch of containers of imports piled up and therefore did not show up as imports. That also showed up as disruptions to manufacturing and retailers. Many manufacturers actually continued to show weakness in March in response to their inability to get parts from abroad.
Speaking of March, you're looking for some moderation on the jobs front. We did see a better-than-expected number on the weekly claims data today, but tomorrow, the big monthly jobs number, there's a lot less certainty around that.
We saw a lot of layoffs in the retail sector. Target, in particular, had reported layoffs that week. We also saw this moderation in manufacturing activity, which will show up. And then finally, we did have some unseasonably bad weather, which delayed some construction projects. I think it's temporary and transitory. That's the good news. The bad news is this is a big cloud for the Federal Reserve in terms of lifting rates in June. They're going to have to wait a little longer for that cloud to lift to raise rates.
Diane Swonk from Mesirow Financial, thank you for your insights.
Thank you.
For the record, the February deficit was down 17% almost to $34.5 billion. In other news, Kindle users better take note. Amazon is in the midst of another contract dispute with a major publisher. The latest e-book pricing spat is with HarperCollins and follows a similar tussle with Hachette last year that ended with that book publisher winning the rights to set its own prices. Marketplace's Nova Safo has the latest.
The news of HarperCollins reportedly griping over its proposed Amazon deal is like deja vu.
It breaks my heart a little.
That's Malcolm Gladwell criticizing Amazon last year during its squabble with Hachette.
I had thought of Amazon as in partnership with writers.
So that was last year. Today, analyst James McQuivy of Forrester Research says a similar public spat with HarperCollins is unlikely.
Amazon suffered quite a lot last year with the Hachette experience.
McQuivy says what is likely is that HarperCollins wants some of Amazon's customer data.
Amazon is historically unwilling to share customer data, and maybe HarperCollins is ready to actually make a point of that.
And it needs to make a point, says industry consultant Peter McCarthy.
You know, in the past, publishers were really business-to-business companies at the end of the day. They didn't know who the end reader really was.
Now, says McQuivy, they need to know so they can sell to them directly and rely less on Amazon in the future. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This week, high school seniors have been laser-focused on one thing, their inboxes. That's because April 1st is when many of the nation's colleges send out acceptance letters. It's also the day that college bookstores dream about. As Jim Burris reports from WABE in Atlanta, they're ready for a mad rush of teacher-seeking teenagers.
Rachel Fratt is about to graduate high school, and she's ready to let everybody know she got into Georgia Tech. Thanks to a sweet scholarship, she also has a bit of extra cash. And where better to spend it than at Tech's bookstore?
All right, so do you have kind of a game plan in mind? Do you know what you want to get in here today?
Not really, but I brought some money and I'm probably going to spend all of it. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's go shopping.
Okay.
Inside, it looks like a huge department store, except All the clothes are navy and yellow.
It's so soft.
Rachel goes right to the sweatshirts.
And it's tech in big letters, too, so they'll definitely know when they see me.
Y'all find everything okay today?
One sweatshirt, some pajama pants, water bottle, a hat for dad, t-shirt for little brother.
Your total is $256.85.
Ouch. That's hard on Mom's pocketbook, but it's great for the bookstore.
There are your items.
College bookstores are a $10.2 billion a year industry, and a lot of that cash comes in when admissions letters go out. Leah Antoniazzi manages Emory University's bookstore. She says students rush to buy stuff about five times a year. April is just one.
So obviously during early admissions and during back to school, which would be August and January, we beef up our clothing and apparel.
Acceptance emails even come with a coupon for Emory Bling. But it's not just the big universities where new students are stocking up on school-branded gear. Kaylee Lackey is heading to Oglethorpe University, enrollment 1,000. Its bookstore is the size of a small gas station Quickie Mart. Kaylee walks in and buys the first shirt she sees.
I like how simple it is. It's not too busy. Like, you look at it and you're like, wow, she's going to Oglethorpe.
And that's what you want folks to know, right?
That's exactly what I want people to know.
And like most incoming freshmen, she's willing to fork over $40 for a sweatshirt that says so. In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, lots of talk about McDonald's plan to raise pay for 90,000 workers at its company-owned U.S. stores. The move follows similar pay raises at Walmart and Target, but there's a catch. It won't apply to its franchisees, which make up 90% of McDonald's 14,000 U.S. locations, or some 750,000 workers. In New York, I'm Matt Nesto with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.